If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hear ye, hear ye. Let it be known throughout the land that Pete Golding, head coach of the Ole Miss Rebels, is hereby crowned the true portal king of college football. Through many once hailed Lane Kiffin as the ruler of the realm, it has now come to light that Golding was the master of the transfer portal all along, the quiet architect behind the crown, which now rests on his head. So raise the banners, ring the bells,
put
belt to ass. The throne was never lost. Only the credit was, long live the portal king, Peter Golding.
Hey, buddy.
What's up? Welcome to Game Runs Deep. I'm Sudu. That's Ben. Sorry. Just a quick proclamation real quick. You know, just a royal decree. What is it? 4 days into the NCAA transfer portal. And Portal Pete is cooking, Benny.
Cooking. He's absolutely cooking. Ole Miss is up to 8 commitments. Even more important than that are the retentions, especially the announcements yesterday. We're recording. Is this Tuesday or Wednesday? It's Tuesday.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, I leave out for Phoenix tomorrow night. I'm flying direct out of Jackson. So anybody in Jackson,
let's
Mississippi, holler your boy. I'm supposed to arrive in Phoenix by 9:30. And Ole Miss, it's left. They've left for Phoenix already at this point. And a lot of work that they've gotten done so far, man. And the transfer stuff on by itself is impressive. But I really think the retention efforts deserve. Yeah, they deserve to get the above the fold treatment here. Thank y'all for joining us on Game Runs Deep. I'm Ben Garrett. He's Sudu Upadeya. The Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, Definitive on Three. That's where we are all day, every day. Brad Logan, Sudu, me, Jake, Zach, Chuck, pick your people. Bradley, Sal, they're all there hanging out talking about the Rebels all the time. And if you scan that QR code right above Sudu's head and you join us, you get 50% off if you're a new member, 50% off an annual sub, and we'll have wall-to-wall coverage of Phoenix and the Fiesta Bowl there at the Ole Miss Spirit. Just simply scan that QR code, sign up for 50% off. We would love to have you come hang out with us all day, every day, not just when we're here on the podcast. The Ole Miss Spirit, Trinidad Chambliss, if he gets his waiver as announced yesterday, will be Ole Miss's starting quarterback next year. We kind of knew that when we were recording yesterday, me and Zach.
Yeah, it was you and Zach, yeah.
And now we know that Kiwan Lacy is coming along too. He is re-upped with the Grove Collective Ole Miss, and he will be Ole Miss's running back. And, I got a text because everybody's had something to say about all this, Sue. You know, mostly in the direction of Lane Kiffin. And my buddy Billy Landis from Riverland Roofing, he texted me a screenshot from Ole Miss Sports at Rebel Sports Talk on Twitter. Rare thing Kiffin ever said that was indeed the truth. And the truth is, turns out Lane Kiffin was actually right when he said he needed Ole Miss a lot more than it needed him. At least in the short term, that's what it looks like. Paul Feinbaum's calling him a fool. It reminds me of the other guys. When Mark Wahlberg's trying to mess with Will Ferrell, and then Will Ferrell goes, "That guy you thought it would? Nope. And that's kind of where we are today. I want to get into all these guys. Only one offensive player so far from the portal. There'll be more of that. I think positions particularly of interest for the offensive side, since it's been so heavy defensive side, which is where their real needs were, especially if they have Trinidad Chambliss and Kiwan Lacy back. Carius Kern, who we talked about first at the Ole Miss Spirit. We told you when he was on campus. We told you how it was trending, and now he's committed. That's your left tackle next year, folks. That's your left tackle replacing Diego Pounds, who had an incredible testimony that he gave on a podcast recently. You can find it on Twitter. And what a great, great career and run he's had. But, it's a very busy time, a very active time, and it's not going any way that he or others probably thought it was going to go, Sudu.
Yeah, man. What's the name? Hudson Clark's got to be on a very difficult type of time right now, man.
Or he feels vindicated.
Just feel terrible.
Or he feels vindicated, right? I mean, first and foremost, the biggest addition for Ole Miss yesterday is twofold. It's Trinidad Chambliss and Kewon Lacy for 2026. And we haven't even started talking about the Fiesta Bowl, of which my guy Sudu will be hosting our pregame show, who has now got guests of Walker Jones, Stackhouse.
Let's go.
Freeze.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Love that, man. Thank you.
Well, Ole Miss has got a lot of, like, I want to ask about Jay Crawford, you know?
I want to ask
about Deuce Knight if he ends up at Ole Miss too, which I'm hearing some conflicting stuff on that right now. But I'm saying, he has the stuff from a decade ago doesn't mean dick to me anymore.
Yeah. You know? No, well, it's not. Anyways, we don't have to do this week. We could talk about this another time.
Anyway, Freeze, Walker Jones, Charles Stackhouse. I know I'm leaving people out. I think there's a few more. Oh, Cole Kublick from ESPN is going to call in.
Oh, how about that?
My guy Cole Kublick. He says he's going to call in. I got to remind him, though. And you know me, I'm bad at reminding. But we'll be at the Ole Miss Alumni Association party on game day. I don't know what our pregame or our Wednesday stuff is going to be because I'm traveling so late. But the official Ole Miss pregame party right there. That's where.
Beautiful.
2 to 4:30. Show's probably going to be about 2 hours. Heritage at Sportsman's Park, 9600 West Sportsman Park, South Glendale, Arizona, 853-0805. So come see us, man. Come hang out. We'll interview you probably. That's what we did at in New Orleans at the Sugar Bowl. You know, Brad on the street stuff, and everybody seems to like that. But we have some great guests lined up, take you all the way to kickoff, and have even more stuff to talk about after all this portal activity.
No doubt. We'll tell what. Pete hitting grand slams and well, I mean, you know, where were we? We had four commits, right? The last time you and I were on, that has since ballooned. Some of the names we thought, like Kern, we talked about Bureau, the Florida D lineman. Mm-hmm.
Called that one.
Yeah, you did call that one. And then who else? There were a couple others. I think we mentioned that.
One of college football's leading tacklers, if not the leading tackler, Chris Jones, linebacker from Southern Miss, Mike Iborio from Florida, defensive lineman, Jaheim Otis at long last.
Jaheim is now confirmed committed, right? Mm-hmm. So that's nice.
I feel like I've been talking about Jaheim Otis. I've been talking about Jaheim Otis for like 4 years.
I mean, I still can't believe that it's happening.
It's one of those things like I wasn't going to believe it until I saw it, and I still don't believe it. Maybe I didn't see the man dressed out. And I need to tell him, like, the PTSD, recruiting PTSD, provided some of us Ole Miss recruiting guys for a while. You know what I mean? Come on. But what an incredible couple of days it's been. And it speaks to what Ole Miss believed when it made its move and replaced Lane with Pete Golding, that organizationally they'd outgrown just simply being tethered to a cult of personality, and now the organization is flexing its muscles. Now, long term, what that looks like, we still don't know. But in the short term, they've been proven right. It's not just about the 8 transfer commitments that they have. They've gotten Jay Crawford from Auburn, Keaton Thomas from Baylor, linebacker Jonathan Maldonado, and Edge from Nevada, Sharif Denson, a move kind of defensive back for them. I could see him replacing Kapini Gushkin. Jaheim Otis, Mike Borio, Chris Jones, Karius Kern. The Rebels that have entered the portal are Austin Simmons, who's going to Missouri, and we all wish Austin the best, seriously. Any Missouri person, I doubt anyone is – watching this is from Missouri. But if you're a Missouri person, you're getting a hell of a prospect. He's still raw, and he's so young, and he's so early in his development. The arm talent is insane, and I wish the absolute best for him. PJ Wilkins, offensive lineman, and Dominique Thomas are the other two that have gotten in the portal. But so far, I mean, there's one program in college football that's really lapping the rest is far as their work in the portal so far. And I know for an absolute fact, it's driving that man down in Baton Rouge absolutely insane. Absolutely insane. I mean, it's a bad look.
Yeah.
You know, intentional leaks talking about, well, Kewon and Trinidad and this, that, and the other. I mean, Matt Moscona was parroting your talking points. Kewon Lacy's coming, and LSU's going to meet the number. And I know what the number was, and it's a big number. I think I do. I'm completely independently verified it, but I'm pretty sure I know what the number was. And Ole Miss is paying a pretty penny, but that's what you do for championship caliber players, right? Like the whole going for a logo, the whole Ole Miss is lesser than. Well, they're proving you by stuffing you in a locker every single day, going quiet on Twitter that they're just fine. And what they believe to be true, especially in the short term, has bared out. Right? Lane, yeah. You did need Ole Miss more than Ole Miss needed you, at least in the short term. And I know Lane's going to win at LSU. I have no qualms about saying it. Like, that's what he does. I'm not knocking that. I'm just saying that the days of thinking that little Ole Miss was just going to go back to its place, well, yeah, y'all can kick rocks on that. You know, that's over. Over.
We tried. The crazy thing is, I mean, all season long, since this podcast has been a thing, Ben and I have made it a point to mention that you have to reframe the way you view college football. I mean, we've said it time and time again. There's clips on TikTok and Instagram, and you could see the comments. I mean, the comments never, you know, it's just people just don't agree or don't believe it or whatever. I mean, even Nick Saban went on College Game Day and made those exact points we had been making all season long. And for some, it's people just aren't used to change, I guess, no. Is what it is. And they just refuse to believe it. But if you've been watching the sport and you've been involved in some capacity with a program or even loosely, you know how it operates now. You're seeing in this year's college football playoff with Texas Tech being in it and Indiana and Ole Miss still in it. It's not what it used to be. And it's not hard. Like, I don't understand how you don't see that. Even if you're a top program, I understand it's a threat to your dominance, but the survival is about adapting, right? Like, if you adapt, you continue to survive. And a lot of these programs still haven't done so, and therefore their fan bases still seem to think that, listen, after Georgia lost to Ole Miss, I have friends at Georgia who were like, hey, love what Kirby does out of high school, developing these kids, whatever, but yeah, we might need to start stepping up in the portal ourselves. And you saw that, like, when they got really, Khalil Barnes from Clemson, right? And
Ole Miss wanted him. I mean, they had him in for a visit over the weekend. So it's not like that. I mean, but they're still, they just move on because they're scouting and development part, the scouting and recruiting and evaluation department.
Yeah.
I mean, this work has been done for a while now, right? Like, they've been doing this work for a long time. And they knew who was going to probably be available. Everybody does. And who they were targeting. They had it staggered out, you know, top priorities, this, that, and the other. The most interesting and fascinating things, they just have not had to get very far down their board either. You know what I mean? Showing you that, you know, these are elite recruiters. Pete Golding's elite recruiter. Jake Schoonover's an elite recruiter. You want to give somebody credit for Kadarius Kern? When you see Jake Schoonover in the Grove on the Walk of Champions, say, Schoonie, thank you for Kadarius Kern. You're starting left tackle for 2026, right? This is a staff that got shortchanged and muzzled, and now they're able to show that they got agency, just like Ole Miss had agency and made its decision not to allow a departing Lane Kiffin to an SEC rival go to or coach Ole Miss through the playoffs. Imagine had Ole Miss let him. You're not going to have the same kind of retention the effort. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're not going to have the same kind of success in the portal per se. Probably a little bit more closer in resemblance to the portal success you would have, but the retention efforts, oh, no. The fact that Kewon Lacy and Trinidad Shambles before Ole Miss is playing the Fiesta Bowl, and make no mistake about it, beating Georgia is playing a big part of this. You know what I mean? Because you have to have proof of concept, but they did it. But those two guys were the main guys that not just Lane was back channeling, but putting his like voices in the media, like Pete Thamel. How stupid does Pete Thamel look this morning when he said, when he's talking about the waiver and he says he'd be one of the most, he'd be the most sought after player in the portal? He didn't get in the portal, Pete. And if you'd actually been listening to local guys on the ground since before Christmas, far and away the most likely scenario or outcome, I've been saying it. I've got the receipts. And it's not just talking out of my rear end, is that Trinidad Shambles would be Ole Miss's starting quarterback next year if he got the waiver. Now, the NFL draft stock's going to be, if he wins a title, I'm fascinated with the NFL draft piece. That's the one I don't know. As far as Deuce Knight, K-N-I-I-G-H-T, and he corrected himself. I think Deuce Knight wants to come to Ole Miss. I think a quarterback right now for them is a back burner evaluation for now. But remember, there's only 10 more days left in this. So they might try to get through Thursday and then pick back up on Friday, because now they've addressed their biggest needs, specifically safety, a second-level impact player. The Baylor linebacker fits that. Defensive line, they've cleaned up, giving themselves some real options and flexibility in the back end. Now they can flip to offense. No, you're not going to have DeJon Stribling anymore. You know you're not going to have Harrison Wallace anymore. You got to get some wide receivers. I think they're working on Caden Lee. At this point, I'm
excited about Daryl Gill's name popping up. This is a guy, obviously, we've been big Fran Brown guys on this pod, and I've watched quite a few Syracuse games, and his stats, I think, were affected by their starting quarterback, Steve Angeli, getting hurt. But watched some games and saw him pop off. I think he was even on a Bless Your Heart segment this year. So,
which I miss, and we have to bring back.
We'll have to work on that. We'll have to work on figuring out how to get around the video rights issue.
Yeah, that, and it requires a lot more work. If you, Brad Logan, who co-hosts The Drive Home, The Ben and Brad Show, whatever we're going to call it, because we don't just do shows for drives home anymore, has joined us. Hey, Brad.
How's everybody today? It's good to see you, Sudo.
Good, man. Where are you?
I am at Houston High School here in Mississippi. This is the home of one William Echols, and everybody understands how much I think William Echols is probably the best defender on this team. Ben, we heard from William Echols yesterday, and he's the one that we met with prior to the Georgia game, and they said, I think Michael Katz asked him, what would you like to do and change maybe what happened a couple of months ago? He says, we just want to make them punt. And yep. So, you know, Georgia did punt a couple of times, and of course, the defense played so much better. I thought it was fantastic yesterday getting to talk with Brian Brown. I mean, I was very impressed with him, the Corinth, Mississippi native. And I thought, too, holding Georgia to that field goal, obviously, one of the major plays of the game. So, yeah, William Echols, high school here. By the way, right there, right over my right shoulder, you look right there in the middle of the practice field, that's where the helicopter landed when Dan Mullen came to see Chris Jones out here years ago. Whenever they
I was
going to
ask if that was Chris Jones's high school as well.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah.
That is
Brad, you got a little scruff this morning, man. I kind of dig it.
I do. Yeah, I've got a shave for Phoenix. I've got a little hairdo coming.
I've got to get a haircut. Maybe just rock with it, dude. Maybe you just grow out the beard.
Yeah,
I think you wear it well, my friend. Yeah, you got. So, what did you think about yesterday? What did you of all the movement, specifically retaining Kiwan Lacy, Trinidad Chambliss if he gets the waiver? You were active on Twitter, on the Ole Miss Spirit message board, wrote a story for us about Kiwan for the Ole Miss Spirit. Go there now, that QR code above Brad's head. You scan it. You join us for 50% off as long as Ole Miss is in the college football playoff. 50% off. There you go. You were good the other way. 50%
off. Other side, Brad.
Just
there you go.
There you go. Scan that one, and if you're a new member, you get 50% off. What did you make of yesterday's movement?
Well, first of all, possibly the greatest. I don't know if you call this a recruiting day. To me, it kind of was. So I think it was the greatest recruiting day since, what, the Kim Dichies and Laramie Tunsil, that sort of thing kind of happened years ago. I thought it was a big day. And I thought, if anything, it showed a lot about how important the players believe in Pete Golding. I think it said a lot about how the players maybe don't believe in Lane Kiffin. I think there were, you know, you looked at what a lot of the media in Louisiana was, is it was not if, it was when Trinidad Chambliss gets in the portal, Kiwan Lacy gets in the portal. It was not if, it was when they do, they're coming to LSU. It was all because LSU is the blue blood. LSU has the larger stadium. LSU has the bigger fan base. At the end of the day, none of that mattered. At the end of the day, Pete Golding is the guy that they want to play for, obviously. I mean, I understand finances are part of this.
They're
a large part of it. But I also think it says a lot about how there's no doubt that when that audio leaked about Kiwan Lacy and, you know, the phone call, that was not received well. And I can't imagine that did not do anything but help Ole Miss's case whenever the quote-unquote negotiations were happening. I thought it was a banner day for Ole Miss. And I thought it was a situation to where beating Georgia kind of put, I guess you could say, Ole Miss in a position of power when it comes to the players. It kind of Ole Miss put them in a position to where they can say, I've heard all the stuff, the nuance about all these things, but at the end of the day, the proof is in the pudding. LSU lost to the Texas Bowl. Ole Miss is playing for a national championship if it can beat Miami. That's just the facts. And so proving that you can do it at Ole Miss, I think, says a lot. You know, I thought it was interesting. You know, Paul Feinbaum said that he just kind of just went all in about, you know, about how well Ole Miss has played and Pete Golding this and Pete Golding that. And I, you know, it's interesting to see the collective national college football media kind of jump in on Ole Miss. And they're almost like, I've even had some Mississippi State fans say, gosh, I mean, I hate Ole Miss, but my goodness, it sure is fun watching Trinidad Chambliss just go nuts. It sure is fun watching Kewon Lacy and the sideline have a big time. And it sure is fun watching Lucas Carnero talk noise to the Georgia the kicker.
Yeah.
And so it's just fun to watch. But here, I'll take away from this. You know, Joe Judge, to me, I've said this with you yesterday after the press conference, and I'll say it today with Sudu. I don't know that I could be more impressed with what Joe Judge said about everything that he was able to kind of break down to someone. Like, I mean, I thought I knew football pretty good, but then hearing him talk just makes you really sound really, really uneducated when it comes to football. He is really good. I think the team's in a really good position. I was on a couple of shows this morning. They asked me, you know, why I would think Ole Miss would have a chance to win a national championship. I think more than anything, if you remember when Ole Miss made the field goal and there was 1 second left, you know, Pete Golden was just on the sideline. He's like, just y'all back up, you know, whatever. Let's just get our trophy and go to the house. I mean, it's not the exuberant jumping around, acting a fool. It's just staying and playing within themselves. And I think, too, Charlie Weiss out from under the wings of Lane Kiffin has looked pretty good. And I think it's just really preparing him for the next step. I know he's going to LSU and he's got to go back under Lane Kiffin's wing, and I get all that. We'll see how that happens. But I've been very impressed with Charlie Weiss Jr. calling plays, and I've been very impressed with Joe Judge. And once again, Brian Brown was special yesterday. And Sudu, one thing I told Ben at the end of the press conference, or after it was over, both coordinators, well, Joe Judge, not a coordinator, but both Joe Judge and Brian Brown both made available to media, both came and spoke to all of the media that were there and had like a regular conversation. That has not happened
in, interesting,
I don't know how many years. And so
we
didn't really go after that. I think I was interested what kind of hat Brian Brown had on. I thought it was Country Club of Oxford, and he would come eventually. Yeah. But anyway,
because I asked him and he said, you really can't see this? And I'm like, I'll be honest with you, I'm New Albany, Mississippi, bro. I had no bougie country club. Like, I'd love to. He was like, and I asked him if he was any good at it. He's like, no, dude, I just like to have a good time. I was like, oh, that's more my golf speed, D Brown. Let's do that then.
Yeah.
You know, a few things real quick. A lot of people are popping off in the chat. Update on Kudus. I think Patrick Kudus is going to test his NFL draft stock, but I expect him to come back to Ole Miss. Hopefully Charlie will go to the NFL. He came out and told Chris Lowe that he wasn't interested. So,
yeah.
And that's a guy who's really been a man who means what he says what he means, Brad. And I think I would trust him on that. The effectiveness of Jaheim Otis, he doesn't have the run necessarily or the scratch on his resume that you would hope from a player of his caliber coming out of high school so far with multiple years in college. But Pete Golding's absolutely loved that kid for a long, long time. And
what was Walter Nolan's
evaluation?
What were Walter Nolan's stats before he came to Ole Miss?
He was already a beast. No, he was a beast.
Because I remember at that time people going, well, he's really hasn't reached his peak, you know, whatever. Like, are you sure you're getting a surefire thing with him?
Yeah. Yeah. So. For right now, he's more, you just needed to add some real, oh my gosh, are we really? Really?
That's what he's doing. That's what the comment that you pinned said. So there it is. We're still throwing up the Trinidad flag.
He can't. He went really quiet for like 18 hours, Brad.
Well, I mean, when you get stuffed in a locker and smoked on the transfer portal, what are you going to say? Thank you. Can I have another? I mean, Pete Golding absolutely just slapped Lane across the face the last couple of days. Now, LSU got a big commitment from a Clemson defensive player, and I expect LSU to get a really good transfer portal roster. But over the last 24, 48 hours, I don't think it could have gone worse for LSU and any better than Ole Miss. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Winnie Watkins goes to LSU. I think there was reports that maybe Patrick Kudus was getting, you know, really, really heavily recruited. But, I mean, Kudus's family, I think, loves it in Oxford. And like you said, Ben, there's a good chance that Patrick Kudus tests the NFL waters.
I mean, he's a big-time player. Yeah, I think he's coming back. But, like, so, you make a good point. Like, all of these dudes, it's not just Patrick Kudus. It's not just Kewon Lacy and Trinidad Chambliss. LSU came hard after Caleb Cunningham. Someone asked earlier in the chat about Caleb Cunningham. Any news on Winston Watkins? Winnie Watkins, I expect to transfer to LSU. If he stays, man, what a great keep it'll be. But I don't know. That's the most Lane Kiffin guy on this roster. Ben, when we getting Bradley Sal back? Called him this morning, and he didn't answer. So hopefully soon. I hope for maybe the pregame show. And then as far as Caleb Cunningham, I mean, he told me on the field at the Sugar Bowl second time. He told me I saw him at North Pontotoc for New Albany game when I went to cover Emmanuel Tucker. Or now Faulkner, who signed with Ole Miss, the four-star offensive lineman, both times. Caleb says he's good. He ain't going nowhere. And I take that man for to mean what he says what he means until he tells you otherwise. You know,
I mean, he said that at the end of the Sugar Bowl when I was standing right there. Yeah.
So I mean, that's where I would go with it.
One thing, real quick, before I get out of here, both Eli Manning and Jackson Dart will be at the Fiesta Bowl, according to themselves. So I thought that's interesting that both those guys are coming. That's going to be really cool.
We need you on the sidelines just like hounding them to get like Brad on the street interviews. Like, you know what I mean? Like the Brad on the street interviews are becoming a thing. You understand? Yeah. Like they're becoming a thing. And so we stick you on the sideline.
I wanted so bad to be there. I just couldn't do it. But I wanted to be there today at 12:30 so I could be live when the team was leaving. I just couldn't do it. I mean, sometimes life gets in the way. And so.
Buddy, you got to get to Phoenix.
Yeah,
you
know, we got to get to Phoenix.
We got to get to Phoenix. So you be careful going down there. That's Brad Logan. We do a show together. Ben and Brad drive home, whatever it is. If you search Talk of Champions, if you search the Logan Media Network, you'll find all of our stuff. And Brad is a big, big part of it. And he'll be on site in Phoenix along with me. We'll be doing the pregame show from the Ole Miss Alumni Association kickoff party, 2 to 4:30 Mountain Time. The plan for us is to go probably a good 2 hours. Already got great guests lined up, including Charles Stackhouse, Hugh Freeze and Walker Jones and a bunch of people that we look forward to talking to. And Brad will be there right there doing his Brad on the streets and doing interviews like he always does. Thank you, my friend. Be safe.
So dude, good to see you, Ben. We'll talk to you soon.
See you soon, buddy. That's Brad Logan. One of the
You think he likes me more than you? Because he just said Sudu first and then he's like, all right, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah.
How does that make you feel?
I'm good. I love Brad. I love you. But like I'm an acquired taste.
You think it's because you bully him sometimes?
I don't ever bully anybody. That is not true. Now, do I mess with people? Of course. But like that's out of complete and total love. Even when you quote a ludicrous lyric, it's just a fun, silly way to, you know, say a zebra can't change the stripes. But then some people think you're calling them something else. And then you get a bunch of free merch in the mail like I did yesterday. Got me another shirt sent to me.
I did too. Shout out Brad, man. Shout out Brad.
What'd you get? What kind of gear did you get?
I told you about the hat, the SIP hat. Remember Brad?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Brad sent me that.
That's right. Anthony Saints, I'm guessing you're an LSU. You got tampering, buddy. You want to start talking about tampering? Like, y'all don't have any legs to stand on. All anybody has to do is pull up, like, the freaking call that Lane goes, no, they're coming. Are you serious? Like, there is nothing that anybody can claim because everybody's doing it. Now, if y'all want to join in together and actually say what's the truth, the NCAA is a feckless, pathetic organization, regressive organization that does nothing to protect the integrity or at least preserve the spirit of the best sport to ever be created on God's green earth. You want to direct your attention to them because there isn't anything to be done about tampering? I agree with you. But don't you act for one second. I've seen LSU fans in my Twitter mentions. Thanks for making the case for tampering. We got you now, guys. It's like every time it's just like when you lose a recruit to somebody and you go, well, we didn't want to, he wouldn't take anyway. Like the old days, he wouldn't take. Nonsense. But good luck. The fact that that's where your energy is and Ole Miss's energy is in keeping its entire roster, including the best two star offensive players, while two wins away from his first title since the 60s, while you're sitting at home with a Houston Bowl loss, with Regina George, with the Regina George of SEC head coaches who thinks and acts that way too, getting stuffed in lockers, man, I understand why you're feeling a certain type of way. I understand why you're feeling some type of way while you're in our chat, you know? Is Deuce a done deal? It's not done till it's done, but they've been working hard on him. I think they'll get that done. But there they go again. Yeah, you know? I mean, LSU fans, like, no one... Bro, use a hoe. Says all right. Says the cat says the pathetic little punk bitch that's sitting in my chat on a Tuesday afternoon. God be the glory. Ben, stop. You don't need to get like this. But it's been like this. Like, LSU fans can't handle it, bro. They can't handle it.
I was going to let you have that internal dialogue with yourself because I knew it was coming. I knew you were going to. I know you're going to give shades of old Ben and then be like, you know what, bro?
To God be the glory, but the rabbit's got the gun. Hate it for you. Hate it for you. You know it's hoe behavior? Being in an opposing team's chat going, you're a hoe. How's it feel? How's it feel to have, like when Pete Golding said at halftime of the Sugar Bowl, drop your nuts and go play a football game. Well, now those nuts have been dropped on y'all's head. So y'all want to keep hanging in the chat and enjoying misery, then go for it. But what the bottom line is this. Yes, Todd's right. LSU fans, so salty. You cowered up. Oh, did I? He didn't have nothing to say in the tunnel or every time I've talked to him since. It's almost like it was performative. But feel how you want to feel. Because,
they don't. That's what's crazy to me. They don't know who Lane Kiffin is yet. And so part of my approach with that, I don't ever call out LSU fans. I don't tweet at them. Because I'm going, you know what? You'll know in due time. Like, it's going to happen. Just like Ole Miss fans now are like, well, maybe Tennessee fans were right. And it's a different situation for Ole Miss than what Tennessee went through. But, you know, some of the things are similar. It's just, you're just going to have to go through it on your own. It's like when I was a kid, my dad would just say, you know what? We just got to let him learn on his own. I've told him time and time again, and he won't listen to me. He's just going to have to make the mistakes on his own, you know? And that's exactly what this feels like with LSU fans. They just have no idea. But here's the problem with that, right? The record is out there. Like, who Lane Kiffin is not up for debate. It's not a question. Time in and time again, the man has shown exactly who he is, who he serves, what his purpose is. And at the end of the day, hold on, let's see this guy. Bro, y'all have been in every single post LSU. I don't know about who y'all is, Brody. Not your boy. Not your boy, certainly.
I don't know who y'all is. I'm sorry to interrupt, but like, it's like we forget. This man tried to paint a picture in a press conference and use what he thought were friendly media there in the room with us to say, that host stuff, that's just second rate. And I stopped him. I said, hold on now, that's not what I said. And he squirmed like a girl and said, I don't even know who you are. Which he does in staff meetings too, but now he's your problem. He's your problem. Ole Miss ain't got nothing but good problems. So y'all want to keep coming to me, go for it. I don't care.
Dude,
to God
Anthony,
be the glory, and you're right, I don't fight. But I put my hand on that man's shoulder, and I listened to what he had to say, and all I heard was a bunch of nonsense, and James, his highway patrolman, who still hadn't said none to him, I sent him to him multiple times, kept putting his hand on me with his popcorn muscles. I didn't think it was like that. Y'all want to think it's like that? Cool. Then if that's the case, Anthony Saints, how does it feel in your locker? Still hanging out in my chat. How does it feel to be stuck in a locker?
Anthony, go listen to those boys that, who's that one guy, AYS Sports, who just always yells, but is like woefully uninformed. They've got a pretty popping show. I see them popping off on TikTok. Maybe that's where you need to be, Brody. They got some great info.
Look at Jacob. Lane Kiffin hit from his own players. He didn't have to talk to him. Yeah, but this man's, he's an alpha male.
Right.
I don't even know who you are.
The guy,
talking to his ass three times a week for 6 years.
Which, by the way, Ben, turns out is just his default thing.
When
whenever
he doesn't
he's
know what
unhappy,
to say, when he gets
when
got.
He doesn't know what to say, you told me this, right? Like, whenever a staffer or something would be out of line or something, he would just always be like, I don't even know your name.
I don't even know who you are. Yeah, I got it's that like, from
you
his
hired
assistants.
Me.
Yeah, I got it from his assistants. Yeah, I like this. Here's Tyler Rushing. Tell him Anthony knows zero ball. There's no more greater insult than in a sports podcast chat than to be told you ain't got zero. You don't know zero ball.
No ball.
How's it feel? But I thought, and like Mason makes a good point here. Like, I thought Lane going to LSU, the brand, it was easy recruiting, and Ole Miss was little, small time. I thought that's what it was. Instead, what Pete Golding is doing is he's sticking to operation, and he's doing it better than everybody else. All right. What he has done, both through player retention, not just take the results off the field, out of the equation, which you can't do. What's up with the Bleacher Report post on Twitter? I don't know what he's talking about. Go check that out, Sudo. Please. You're not.
Bleacher Report. Okay. Let's go take a little.
Mississippi Tax Law. I've never seen Brad that anime. Heck yeah, we all ready to go to Phoenix. Ole Miss is one more win away from like a title game, you know? And like, so LSU, they got to sit with that. They got to sit with that about the Houston Bowl and having a coach that, like, I guess, did need Ole Miss more than Ole Miss needed him, especially in the short term. Especially in the short term. Because you take the on-field results out of it, which you can't. Those are historic unto themselves.
Oh, Trinidad Scott is, what? This says an hour ago, 6 year of eligibility granted. I haven't seen this. This is not confirmed. There's no way.
It's not. Okay.
No.
Bleacher
Report's college football page an hour ago posted a graphic that says 6th year of eligibility granted, and then quoted what he said yesterday. I owe it to Ole Miss. It feels like home. That almost feels like somebody just made an assumption based on him returning that he got it or something. Because I haven't seen it from anyone else. Not Nakos, not Thamel. Hey. There are people in the comments tagging you. Spirit Ben, is this true? Nobody else is reporting this.
Ole Miss fans, the college football playoff is in full swing. The postseason is just around the corner in the NFL. Underdog is the best way to get in on all the action. So get off the bench and into the game. Playing on Underdog is easy. Just pick whether your favorite players will go higher or lower on stats. Kiwan Lacy set records for the Rebels this season. Will he go higher than 1.5 touchdowns in the Sugar Bowl? Get your picks right and you can win up to 5,000 times your cash. I've played Underdog all season as a beginner. Quarterbacks against the Dallas Cowboys defense have been easy winners. My holiday budget, let's just say, was nice and fat because of Underdog. And with Underdog Unwrapped, you'll unwrap tons of promos all throughout the holidays. They've got boosts, gimme picks, deal reveals, and even some surprises sprinkled in. Now is the best time to get in the game. So download the app today. Sign up with my promo code CHAMPIONS and score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code CHAMPIONS, Underdog, make picks, win money. Must be 18 years or older to play and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. 19 plus in Alabama and Nebraska, 19 plus in Colorado for some games, 21 plus in Arizona, Massachusetts, and Virginia. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/playing-get-terms_DFS_HTML for details. Offer not valid in Maryland, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In New York, call the 247 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
I'll say this. I haven't heard that independently, but as I've been saying since before Christmas, when I said if he gets his waiver, he'll overwhelmingly be Ole Miss's quarterback next year, and that proved to be true, even though people like Matt Moscone and all these LSU losers in the chat, like Anthony, were like, oh, you want to bet? Where are y'all now? Hey, I saw all them burners get them Trinidad flags removed from their profile, Sudo. Why'd that happen? So the same people telling me that are telling me, like, it's not a slam dunk waiver. It's not. It never has been. There is some flimsiness to some of the arguments, but it doesn't matter because the NCAA grants these things for everyone all the time. So, in that respect, the NCAA is going to go the path of least resistance. So they don't want to have anything to do with a lawsuit. And now that the decision has been made, millions are on the table for actionable, legitimate case against the NCAA, which they don't want that smoke. So I say all that to say, yeah, I think he's going to get his waiver, and I think he'll be Ole Miss's quarterback next year. That's what I think. But, like, it's not official as far as I know.
Yeah.
You don't enlist Tom Mars if you're not ready to fight. Now, the only thing that would keep Trinidad Chambliss outside of the waiver not being approved from being Ole Miss's quarterback next year is maybe the NFL stock goes crazy, you know?
100%. Because, look, that's probably what would worry me more. If you're an Ole Miss fan and, you know, obviously you want Trinidad back, depending on how – because Dante Moore did not play well the first time against Indiana. And I really feel like Indiana's defense is going to be right back at it. Or it's not like Oregon looked great offensively against Texas Tech's defense. You know what I mean? So if for some reason Dante Moore, I know they're really high on him, and it's a really poor quarterback draft class this year anyways, but if there is a scenario where if Trinidad can get to the Natty or win the Natty and lead Ole Miss to that point and Dante Moore gets eliminated, where you could start seeing that tide turn a little bit and start going, well, maybe Trinidad Chambliss is the second best quarterback in this draft, and then that would be obviously kind of a double-edged sword of sorts for Ole Miss, right? You win it, but then you may lose your quarterback because of it. But also, at that point, man, you just got to be happy for the guy. I mean, yeah. For his entire journey.
Look at his story. Yeah, look at his story.
Right.
I mean, good for him if that happens. Do I think it will? Probably not. Anthony's still here. Bro, I called you out, NOLA, no response. Dude, I got approached by about 1,000 people in NOLA. Ask my wife and kids. And you must have not said it with your chest because, buddy, ain't nobody scared of nobody.
I don't understand why,
because God commands us. God commands us to speak the truth and speak honestly. But also, I'm not going to fight nobody. I'm not a fighter, but I'll talk my shit. I'll tell you what I think is the truth. And apparently, you ain't got nothing to say because whatever you said in NOLA, you didn't say it with your chest. Like, go on, bro. Ain't nobody wanting you.
Also, like, dude, are you okay? Just like human to human, bro. Like, what's good? Was you good, bro? It's 2:38 Eastern on a Tuesday, bro. Like, we don't have to do this right now.
Oh, we can keep going.
You know what?
Embarrassing yourself.
My eyes look awesome today.
Amazing
today.
They're
wide open today.
They do.
No strains.
They do. No strains. He looks great. So I don't want to hear any jokes about how Sunny looks like a pothead.
Whatever. You know, I don't care.
It is quite funny that, like, everybody brings, even when you're not on the pod, they'll say, "Hey, how's Sudo doing?"
I had my cousin. I was talking to my cousin about this, and she's like, "I'm gonna send you a gua sha," which is like this. It's like an Asian chiseled stone that you like use on your face. What? I guess people use it to like tighten up their jawlines or whatever. And I was telling her about this, and she was like, "Oh my gosh, it's probably your eyes. Like, you need a gua sha." So I'm getting some kind of beauty product sent to me, dude. To make me look less of a stoner, as our viewers seem to think. Tell him, Jack. You tell him. Never.
I loved that. That's what I was laughing about.
I'm not down with the reefer madness.
Nope, because I'm sorry. Sam is holding up. Okay. He's a good boy.
Damn right. Thanks, Jack.
That was what's so funny. And I always drop my God is good. And the other day I caught my guy Sudo flat foot. He's like, damn right. But also, yeah, dude. Damn right. God is good.
I was reading a tweet and I heard it cut register. God is good. I was like, damn right.
Yeah. And it's just like, yes, it's yeah.
Yeah. Oh, goodness.
Oh, Gavin thinks we need to get Visine as a sponsor.
Dude, I don't use Visine. It's a terrible product. It is awful for your eyes.
Why would you? Why would you need it for your contacts?
I have contacts, so I definitely don't use Visine. Oh. I use those. They're like little teardrop things. I forgot what the brand is, but it's awesome. They're super, super great. Okay. When I'm like in studio and stuff, it's really nice with those bright lights.
Sure.
When you burn the contacts in your eyeballs.
That's why you need them. Because when I was in high school, that's why we needed Visine.
No, I'm not talking about Visine. I'm talking about the other brand. You can get these like little disposable twist top. They look like the old Kool-Aid bottles. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
The plastic.
Like, yeah. I love this one though. Like, even if he was stoned, who cares? I agree. I don't care.
Mary Roto is terrible for your eyes. Awful.
Is it really? What is Roto?
Yeah. Roto was the one in college. Everyone had a bottle of Roto in their car because it made your eyes like white immediately, but it burned like hell. It was a tough one. Clear eyes. Not that I'm a connoisseur of eye drops, you know, I'm just,
I don't know. You have a weirdly very specific history.
You seem to know a lot about eye drops, man.
Ole Miss has 8 commitments now in the portal. As far as the Trinidad report, y'all have been asking us about, I haven't heard that independently, but I just don't think the NCAA is in for a fight. I think they're going to grant that, and that'll be that, right? Like, they don't want to deal with that. Sudo, please tell me you guys have seen the Grok picks. If you know who, they're immaculate. I haven't, so y'all send them to us. We'd love to see them.
Of who?
Of apparently Lane.
Oh,
but like,
okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I hadn't seen any of that. Awesome.
Thank you, Tyler. I appreciate that, man. Ben didn't like it. He didn't even make a comment about it. So
I did love it. I did. I was, you know what really made remind me of?
He gassed me up, but he didn't even gas me up on that one. So
all it did was make me sad because I was really thinking Jerry Neuheisel, the first of his name, would be joining us.
So close to getting the guy, right?
Jerry Neuheisel Targaryen, the first of his name. Gosh. Break your chains.
Sudo was blessed with Mr. Miyagi eyes. Y'all are crazy.
Y'all are crazy. What are y'all predictions on the game? That's what I was getting to before we got off track.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about the game. I watched a lot of Miami tape. I got some notes.
Oh, he said he's watched a lot of Miami tape.
Well, I just, you know, I turned the ACC Network on yesterday, caught a couple games, and then decided, you know what, let me go back and watch some of these. I mean, I watched a lot of those games during the season because they've been one of my favorites. It's bad when the state trooper asks you if he had been fighting grass fire.
All right, so like, stop worrying. We got to look. All right, so you look at the field. I haven't finished or added the new games yet, obviously, but or just the new results yet. But
did you make this?
No. That's a graphic I found somewhere.
Okay. Tell you.
But what do you think? All right, so Indiana. Start with Indiana, Oregon.
Indiana. I'm just, until they prove otherwise, they're the most well coached team, disciplined, physical defense. You see what their offense can do. I'd take Indiana. I mean, I don't think that's, you know. Yeah, Jack, I have been big on Miami this year because I was at your house when they lost to Louisville, and he saw how much it meant to me.
Aw. Well, okay, so you're picking Indiana.
I'm taking Indiana. Dude, there's just nothing about that team right now that makes me go, they're going to lose. And this is a team they beat the first time. Granted, and that was also, you got to remember, Fernando Mendoza threw a pick six in that game. It was one of his, like, worst games of the season, I believe. And they still beat Oregon in Autzen. Yeah. So it's really hard for me to believe that Indiana somehow the second time around is not going to be able to do the same thing, considering you saw the way Oregon played against Texas Tech's defense, which is really good, but so is Indiana's. So I have a hard time believing that Indiana, and we said it 2 weeks ago, right? It's going to be Indiana versus whoever wins Georgia Ole Miss in the national title game. I just, to me, that's, I'd be shocked if Oregon was able to knock them off this time around.
What makes Indiana so good outside of the obvious? Like, Fernando Mendoza won the Heisman, but like also Trinidad asked for more yards in two lesser games.
Right? He did. Well, I think part of it also is, I mean, and not a knock on their schedule as a whole, because they did play really good teams, right? They beat Ohio State in the conference title game. They beat Oregon. To me, what said more about who Indiana is was the comeback against Penn State. Some people saw that as a, oh, God, this woeful Penn State team. I can't believe Indiana almost lost to them. And I looked at it like, you mean the Penn State team with NFL guys all over the field? The fact that they were able to come back that way showed me that they were built to be a postseason team, that they can face adversity. It's truthfully, it's talent and coaching, Ben. There's really nothing else to it. And I think a big part of it also is mindset and belief, which I think Pete, this is a big benefit that I think Pete has, the way he goes about his business, the expectations laid out for his players, the way he talks to them. You look at those like locker room speeches after the game. Yeah, they celebrate, it's celebratory, but there's always a job's not done, on to the next kind of vibe to it. And I think a big part of it is Cignetti's, whatever he's able to instill in them, like mentally, I think it starts there because that's how they attack their day and their practices and their games and everything. And then they're coached really well. They're just really, really disciplined, and it's sound football, man. It's just, it's like traditional Saban stuff to me.
It's also no coincidence that in this new parody era of college football that the Final Four coaches in 2026 are all Saban disciples.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And Cignetti is, in my opinion right now, the most on fire of the bunch. Here's a good question from Robert. From top to bottom, Sudu, does Miami have a better defense than Oklahoma? Everyone's saying we won't score more than 17 on Thursday.
Yes, they do. I don't know about we won't score more than 17. Yes, they do. Their defensive line, I mean, obviously Bain and Mezidor are just absolute dogs. I will say there's not a ton of depth there from what I've noticed. If I'm wrong, someone correct me, but that's just my observation. For me, this is about speed and tempo for Ole Miss, and tiring out those guys. I think that really helps you if you can build an early lead in this one, maybe go up 14-0 or just start the scoring and score first. I think it really puts them at an advantage. Obviously, we've talked about, I have to say, I don't think I've talked enough about Keontae Scott and Jacoby Thomas. They have a couple really good DBs. They all hit really, really, really hard too. So you may get a big completion on them, but they're bringing it every single time. They're going to hit you. It's going to be probably the hardest hitting team Ole Miss has faced all year, defensively. But we've talked about the key to this. It's got to be to get to Beck. And Mark Fletcher, their running back, is probably going to get his. Ole Miss just has been awful against the run all year, including you saw against Tulane. as well. Like Tulane was able to push the ball by running it. So you just have to make them one-dimensional. And I think what Miami's going to try to do is slow the game down, run the football, short passes, and try to make sure they keep the ball out of the hands of the Ole Miss offense. And so for Ole Miss, to me, defensively, it's about getting making sure Carson Beck does nothing all day. And granted, you're going up against a tough offensive line as well, but just doing whatever you can to fluster Carson and start making him, you know, forcing him to make some decisions. That's where he's at his worst. When he has to force things, he's not good. But yeah, I think you go into this game going, all right, Mark Fletcher and that Miami run game, they're going to get theirs, but that's all we're going to allow. And then offensively, you know, need some more magic from Trinidad and just keep that tempo and pace rolling. Is kind of the key. And use some of the mismatches. Like I've talked about it on here the last few episodes. Their linebackers are not great in pass coverage. So using our tight ends, you know, shallow routes for the receivers as well. Like things that can sort of expose them. And then, you know, then you take your shots where you can take them. And I trust Trinidad and Ole Miss's receivers with those.
I'm picking Indiana to beat Oregon because I'm done picking against them. I picked Oregon to make it to the title game. I'm changing it. And I said if Ole Miss beat Georgia, they were team of destiny. So I'm picking them all the way through. A good question came from there. You see from Todd, Miami is 40-something in pass defense. Todd thinks it's going to be 27-14 Ole Miss. That's interesting. That's an interesting pick. But it was a good question from William in the chat. Who have they played really? So like, give me the case for why Ole Miss or why Miami is the favorite, and give me the case why Ole Miss should be the favorite. Who have they played?
Miami is the favorite because of their both sides of the line of scrimmage, right? Like physical offensive line, physical defensive line with elite pass rushers on both sides. That's really what it comes down to. But also, their DBs are great too. Like these guys are going to the league. Keontae Scott, at least, is one of the best. He had that pick six against Ohio State. They just have a ton of talent. Offensively, it is about really it's about their running back and that offensive line. It's what Mark Fletcher can do. And when Beck is on, which all year I've been waiting for him to have just this huge game, like this massive game kind of down the stretch, and he hasn't had it. I think the best way I've heard it described, I read it somewhere and I wrote it down, Beck was unimpressive yet effective in the first two playoff games, and that's kind of been the case down the stretch. He's only thrown one pick in the last six games, but the games that they've lost, it's been because of his mistakes. So I don't think they have the advantage at quarterback. I think their advantages lie in what their offensive line can do and Ole Miss's inability to stop the run. So if I'm Miami, I'm running the ball, and I'm trying maybe little short screens to Malachi Toney. Maybe they can get deep at some point, but Ole Miss has shown they're going to usually rush three and, you know, lay back. So I think Mark Fletcher gets his. But where I think Ole Miss wins is tempo, speed, and if they can get in a situation where they're neutralizing Miami's pass rush and they're scoring, I think it's going to be hard for Miami to keep up with that. You know, you can only run the ball so much during the game before you tire out your running back too. So Beck's going to have to take a shot. That's where hopefully, you know, guys like Santarin Perkins and Prince Willamon Mielen. And I mean, hell, think of the game Xavier Harris had, you know, against Georgia. Guys like that continuing to step up and apply some pressure. I'm going to go somewhere around 34-28 or 27 Ole Miss. Nice. I think there will be some points in this one. As Ole Miss, I think you need there to be some scoring. Like if you're Ole Miss, you want to be scoring 30 plus in this one, in my opinion.
Yeah. You don't want to be playing the 20-17 script. I think Ole Miss is about to beat this team 41-28 or something like that. I think Ole Miss is, the vibes are too good.
Yeah.
And that's not no discount on Miami. It's just like the last time I remember Ole Miss playing Carson Beck, I remember what it looked like.
Yeah.
And a lot of that game script is very similar in game script to the physical nature of Mario Cristobal's Miami teams.
Yeah.
Georgia came in there like Ole Miss knew exactly what Georgia was going to try to do to them when they came to Oxford, exactly what they did the year before when they just absolutely ran over them 52-14, just bullied them. Every play, 6 yards knocked off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Now, Ole Miss defense isn't as good as last year's Ole Miss defense by a mile.
I was going to say that Miami's O-line is also it's akin to like the older Georgia O-lines because the O-line Georgia brought into Oxford last year or 2 years ago, whatever that was banged up, right? They had guys kind of next man up stuff going on, and they were banged up. That doesn't take away from what Ole Miss did because they just had that kind of talent on the line of scrimmage on the defensive side. This Miami offensive line is not, it's better. But I do think there's ways to get creative and, you know, get to figure out a way to get to Beck. I think that's truthfully what it's going to be.
I mean, if this
defensive line. Because you agree with me, right? Like at this point, we just can't sit here and assume Ole Miss is going to stop the run game. Like they just haven't been able to do it all year.
Yeah, but they did it. I mean, they still got gashed a little bit, but they did it for the most part better than they have against Georgia. I mean, it was still like 5 yards of carry on. No, it wasn't. They had one of their better efforts. So, like, you can't dismiss if recency bias is what matters here in the college football playoff with only three games to go. I'm bad at math. Before teams left, then, you know, Ole Miss, what it did defensively against Georgia, especially against the run, should encourage you if you're somebody that believes that Ole Miss will beat Miami, in my opinion. Because
Frazier averaged over 5 yards a carry in that game, right? And he got a little banged up at the end. Yeah, so for me, that it's not about like, hey, they're gonna beat you because of their run game. My point is just you're just gonna have to accept that there's going to be a part of their offense that will probably succeed. No. But that's fine. There's ways to neutralize them from scoring, which they have proven despite giving up some big runs and getting gashed. They've still proven kind of that bend don't break style of defense. Where, yeah, we may give up a bunch of yards on the ground, but also you're going to have to throw it at some point, and we're going to be there. You know what I mean?
That. And I agree with that. From that vantage point, it's like, again, it's to me, it's about getting pressure on Carson Beck. That's what really worked for them in 2024. 2025, you know, the script, or in 2026, in the college football playoff, the script is kind of the same. But, you know, Ole Miss doesn't have the same horses up front that it did back in Oxford. But if you get pressure on him, you can get turnovers on this man. You can rattle this man. So, Santarian Perkins recently re-upped Prince Willie-Mon-Miellen, who has gotten a sack in 7 straight or something, leads Ole Miss with 8.5 sacks. Xavier Harris had his best game of the year against Georgia. Has he found something as the finality of his Ole Miss career comes into focus, right? There's a lot that could play into Ole Miss's favor to see a better effort than you've typically seen from Ole Miss defensively this year, especially against the run. I think they figured some of that out. More than anything, I just think that they're a team of destiny. And I can't run from it now because I wrote it. I said it. They got past Georgia. How could you claim anything else? Paul Feinbaum today called Ole Miss America's team. This isn't about Miami. Miami's a hell of a football team. And they're playing good football at the perfect time. I just think that Ole Miss, I said it going into the Sugar Bowl too. I thought the winner of the Sugar Bowl was going to win the whole thing. And I still think that the winner of the Sugar Bowl is going to win the whole thing. The winner of that Sugar Bowl is who? Your Ole Miss Rebels. So, I'm really intrigued by what it looks like early. Because I think very early on, if you could take their best shot, And you can hold in just like that 20-12. I mean, Ole Miss was in a disastrous place and only down 20-12 after giving a fumble picked up in return for a touchdown. Everybody said, "Oh, it's over." You know what I mean? And they kept pounding the rock. They kept chipping at the rock. So if you can take their best shot, absorb it, and then continue to do what you do well, I think that you'll outlast this team. I just think you have a little bit more than they do. But there's no doubt about it. This is a really good football team.
Would you say
their lines of scrimmages are a problem?
Would you say that out of Texas A&M, Ohio State, right now, Ole Miss has the best offense that Miami will see in the playoffs so far?
Oh yeah,
right.
I mean, like, Texas A&M.
I would too.
Ohio State obviously has more receivers. Yeah,
right. Yeah. That's what you would think. But
Trinidad Chambliss, I take Trinidad Chambliss over Julian Sain.
Exactly. To me, it's Chambliss, but also it's what we've also another thing we've been saying all year, which is this receiving core just does not get enough credit for how good it is. And they're like awesome, like 3 deep. You know what I mean? They're great. Like all those guys.
Yep.
Deuce, Trey, Caden, even if he's banged up, he's a tough one. Then you got Luke Haas and Daquan Wright. Like they have a lot of elite pass catchers on this team. Keontae Scott can definitely man one side of the field, but there's other guys. DeJean Stribling. Shit, I forgot about DeJean.
The guy.
Who's
going to have the longest run of anybody and on this roster, in my opinion, in the NFL. I think that dude's going to stick for 10 years. I really do. All right, let's get out of here with some stuff from the chat. Before we go, right above my head, right here, this QR code is for the Ole Miss Spirit. Sign up today if you're a new member. You get 50% off an annual. That's the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, @3. You don't have to just stop talking about this stuff and hanging with us because we're going to be ending in a couple minutes. You can come hang out with us at the Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com. And @3 by scanning that QR code if you're a new member and getting 50% off an annual sub. Over under 6.5 Ben hair touches. Stay tuned. Hey, I went hard under this time, didn't I? Hard under, but you're not wrong.
He did.
You're not wrong. Somebody asked, I can't find it. Is Cam Franklin being banged up a concern for our D-line and pass rush? He is banged up, but you're not going to get any of these guys from not playing. Will he be full go and what you'd hope he would be? Well, not necessarily, but it's game 15, guys. I mean, Kewon Lacy's got a beat-up shoulder, and he's playing. Caleb Odom had a separated shoulder in the Sugar Bowl, and he's playing. You're not going to keep these guys off the field. I mean, this is what they've quite literally every single one of them worked for their entire life. So Cam's banged up, and he's hurting, and it could limit him in his productivity and especially snap share. But I think Cam's going to give it a go, and I also think Cam's going to resign. Some people have asked me that specifically, like what's going on with Cam. And I'm not worried about Cam Franklin. I'm not worried about Cam Franklin. Like, I'm not worried about Patrick Kudus, to be honest with you, unless of course Patrick Kudus gets a draft grade that, you know, would tempt him to leave. We talked about this Bleacher Report post about Trinidad in the 6 year earlier. I haven't heard it, but I'm of the belief that, and I think it was just an aggregation attempt by some intern at their news desk that Bleacher Report like misinterpreted.
Yeah. That was 100%. Like his announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. Like maybe 100%. Trinidad's announcement was him saying that, but like it has, as far as I know, and I hope it has been, but I haven't heard that independently or verified.
Bleacher Report ain't breaking Trinidad's waiver thing, guys. I'm sorry to break it to y'all. Like it's not going to be Bleacher Report that does it.
But I do think that he's going to get it, and that's a change for me. And the reason I think so is because the path of least resistance for the NCAA is to grant it. Otherwise, they're in for a court fight that they don't want. Nobody wants. And they just don't. They don't want that smoke right now. So I'm picking Ole Miss to beat Miami. What do you say?
Oh yeah, I don't think there should be a doubt who I'm picking.
Indiana and Ole Miss in the national championship game, precisely before the playoffs. The title game pairing that one Eli Manning predicted. He said Indiana, my Ole Miss Rebels in the national championship game. Ole Miss hottie totty national champions, and he will be in Phoenix along with Jackson Dart. So, and I'll be there tomorrow night, 9:30 Mountain Time. I land. Come find me. Also, come visit with us for the pregame. Sudo, you're going to run the pregame for us.
Yeah.
He's like going to do like a multi-hour watch through. Like I've got a whole idea. I haven't really pitched it to him.
I might be live for 7 hours, guys. So please come hang out with me because it would suck if there's only 20 people on my live stream.
Well, I mean, we've at worst had 3,000 watching us live like a random. I think you're going to be okay on game day, especially when we got Walker Jones, Charles Stackhouse, Cole Kublik from ESPN, Hugh Freeze, the Ole Miss alumni.
You were being serious about Hugh Freeze coming on then. You just said it again. This is the second time. Okay. Yep. I thought it was a joke at first.
Oh. Ole Miss has got it. Like, Ole Miss could clean up with Auburn players in the portal. Like, I don't care what it used to be. What he is now is an unemployed coach who has incredible perspective on specific Ole Miss stuff. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Pre-game party. That's where we'll be. Pre-game party. Can y'all see that? All right. The official Ole Miss pre-game party is 2 to 4:30 at the Heritage Sportsman's Park, 9600 West Sportsman Park South, Glendale, Arizona, 85305. That's where we'll be on game day. I don't know about tomorrow because it's a travel day. Time to get to Phoenix. But come Thursday, all live hell is breaking loose. Me, Sudo, everybody. Did you see where your guy went to Auburn like we said was going to happen?
Byron Brown. Yeah, your guy. Best of luck to him, man.
I thought of you quite literally immediately. For me, forever and always, Byron Brown is Sudo's guy.
He is my guy, man. Does Ole Miss play Auburn next year? Let's see. No. Ole Miss 2026 schedule.
No.
Do they not play them?
I don't think so.
I can't remember the new. Yeah, they do. At the Vought.
They do,
yeah. They got him back.
So you get Alex Golish and former USF breakout quarterback
Byron Brown in the vault versus potentially the defending reigning defending national champs with their Heisman front running quarterback and running back Trinidad Chase Chambliss and Kiwan Lacy.
This schedule is disgustingly bad. Like, it's so hard.
So hard.
It's so bad, man. I'm just every time I see it, I'm just like, no way.
It's awful.
I mean, that's really bad. That stretch in October of at Vandy, because no, it really. I mean, dude, mm-hmm. After LSU at Florida bye week at Vandy, Mizzou mm-hmm. at Texas, Auburn, Georgia at Oklahoma, then Wofford comes in to kind of chill things out. Good God.
Well, all right. Let's do it real quick before we get out of here, okay? So with Trinidad and Kiwan Lacy, knowing what they've done in the portal so far, knowing what we know about these teams on their schedule, let's pick wins or losses quickly. We'll just alternate. I'll start with Charlotte. Win. No, I'll start with Louisville. Win. You go to Charlotte.
I'm going to take we're alternating?
Yes.
Okay. Charlotte win. Duh.
LSU, the Ho Bowl. They ain't losing that game.
Florida at Florida. I love those guys, but I'm taking Trini and Kiwan in that one, man.
At Vanderbilt. Is Diego Pavia back? No.
I don't know. I heard you and my guy Zach talk about that yesterday. Was that real?
I don't know.
There's no way, right? There's no way Diego Pavia.
Look at the Ole Miss Alumni Association. Thank y'all for having us. Please, yes, come visit this party. We'll be there. Great guest list. Great drinks, food, fellowship. God is good, and Ole Miss Rebels are going to be taking over Phoenix, so we'd love to absolutely have as many people as possible. So at Vanderbilt, we don't know about Diego Pavia.
That's a win. That's a win.
All right. Versus Missouri and Austin Simmons back in Oxford.
That's a win.
That's a win. At Texas, this will be a big one.
Arch Manning.
He had a great end of the year.
At DKR, yeah. That's a tough place. You know what? As long as you got Kiwan and Trini, give the Rebs a dub. Give the Rebs a dub right there.
Little Jerry Curtis action, that five-star they signed at Vanderbilt. Clark Lee is the man.
He's nice. He's nice.
I don't think Austin Jerry Simmons Curtis is going to get his revenge at home. I'm going to say, just because I think like they're going to lose a game, I'll just say that Texas game.
Okay.
But then they come home and face Auburn and Byron Brown. It'll be challenging, but I think you win that at home. Georgia at home will be the difference between 10-2, in my opinion, or 9-3.
Georgia, they win because they now have Kirby's number altogether.
Oh. Yeah. Somebody grab that.
They got Kirby's number, I think.
Well, we're saying it's such a hard schedule, but with Trini and Kiwan coming back in the portal work so far, good Lord, Sudo.
Maybe it's the CFP, the vibes in the air right now. Ben, you know me. I'm usually, as I like to say, pragmatic, and I try to be realistic. And, you know, normally I would have probably taken, like, at Texas as a loss, and then, hey, you probably lose to Georgia, and then you got to win out the rest. But with Trinidad and Kiwan back, it's just, right now I'm sitting here going, and then you get Kern in. I kind of still want another tackle. But
don't sleep on Devin Harper now. They've been developing that kid for a year, and he was a four-star that LSU tried to portal the shit out of.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Isn't it funny how things change when you start winning, Sawyer? It's like, I told y'all last week on the podcast, I said that we are Ole Miss mentality is now gone. I just keep waiting for the worst to happen, and it just doesn't. It hasn't. You know, fingers crossed. Like, so maybe it's just a part of the transformation, the evolution of being an Ole Miss fan is now you can actually believe and not be hurt, you know?
I'm kind of with Fireman 17. I mean, I think the losses are Georgia and Texas potentially. They should be favored or in every other game. With the returning Trinidad, you're staring like that's a 9-3 schedule. But for a defending national champion, if that's what happens, you still say that's a 10-win schedule. You got to give Ole Miss credit for what it is, which is it would be the defending national champion.
No doubt. You know what I mean? So we're going to finish this out. We think the rest are wins, right? That's what we agreed on. We said Texas, Georgia.
They're not losing a state at home. They're not losing a Wofford at home. At Oklahoma and Norman, I saw that this year, and with a better team than what they'll put together next year, I would suppose. And I'd pick Ole Miss to win that. Yeah. They've done it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wofford might be a bit of a toss-up, though, eh?
Oh, good grief. You just say shit to see what I'll say. Forgive me, Lord God, I have cussed too much again.
Hey, before we go, what was your final score prediction for this Miami game?
41-28 Ole Miss.
All right, I've got 37-24. The Ole Miss Rebels going to Miami for the national title.
And if they get Indiana, if it's Indiana and Ole Miss, which is what we're picking, what's the final score for you this early on?
I'm going to go 24 to 23 Ole Miss.
Oh, that's an interesting scoreigami-ish score.
I'm going to go low scoring, and I'm going to go, Indiana's defense probably, stifles a little bit of the creativity that Ole Miss has been showing, but ultimately they still do enough to win. Maybe it comes on a Lucas Carnero kick. 23-21 game, seconds winding down, Carnero game-winning field goal, walk-off. Rebs win 24-23.
I'm going to go Ole Miss Indiana in the title game. By that point, 32-24, Ole Miss.
I love it, man. There was a time where you would claim not to be an Ole Miss guy. You were just...
I'm not!
I remember used to, like, when I was in college, there was a period. It was because,
You got to, but, like,
the guy that's going to be on our show made your life pretty miserable for about a season or two.
Just like with anything in work and in life, man, I've been doing this almost 20 years now. That's just scars to help you be who you are and to be honest and to do your job the best you can. So that's what I'm trying to do. Sure. All I ever try to do is be honest to people. And where you can find me the most is at the Ole Miss Spirit. OleMissSpirit.com. Fit them on three. Scott, scan that QR code. And if you're a new member, you get 50% off. We would absolutely love to have you at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. And no, it's not homerish. I'm a man who means what he says what he means. I told you. I said, all right, Sue, if they get through Georgia, no more of this. Well, no, I'll stay on my chest.
Same. I'm telling you the same thing, dude. I said I picked Georgia to win that game, but I said if they win, it's going to be because of Trinidad Magic, which is exactly what happened. And then after that, I went, all right, I'm rocking. I'm not even going to predict anything else. I don't care what the stats say or what the papers say. Trinidad showed me a different gear, which is exactly what I mentioned. Was you need the magic from the guy, and he showed you he could do it. So, hey, I'm rocking with that.
Yeah, you just roll with it. And thank you all for following us along. We'll see you in Phoenix. There will be a show tomorrow. I don't know when, in the morning, that night. But we will be in Phoenix for the pregame at the Ole Miss Alumni Association. We want to see every single one of you there. It's about to be an absolute Ole Miss party of parties in Phoenix. And I'm so thankful to the Ole Miss Alumni Association for hosting me and Brad Logan. And Sudu says, I'll believe it when I say it, says he's going to be the man behind the chair for this epic.
You know, we've been planning this since Saturday, and Ben has doubts that despite that, I'm for some reason not going to be available for something I'm already committed to.
It's almost like I have trust issues. But I love you, and we will see everybody in Phoenix. Bye, Sudo.
All right, see you, buddy. Y'all have a good one.
Oh, man, that LSU guy was feeling himself in the chat
today.
Dude,
what was going on with